Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white.
Drink blue and light.
Thank you for the assistance, Andrew P. Ross is out today. I'm Jim Galante sitting in for him. Not quite filling in his shoes. We've moved Bobby Flo, Bob Flounders, over to the big seat.
Uh-huh.
You ready for that responsibility,
it's
Bob?
It's not going to be easy. I'm not going to be able to make fun of Andy nearly as much as Ross did.
Yeah, don't forget to throw some shade at me.
It just came naturally to him. That was the more incredible part of it. It was never really made up.
The most important thing, though, Bob, is that you make the effort.
I'll make the effort at
All
some
right.
point.
Good I'll help enough. You along. I'll give you
Once you run off the tracks, I'll make the effort.
All right. We've got an hour of Penn State football talk. We're going to start Q1 with news and notes. Quarter number two, without Ross here to do Tucker's tape, we're going to take a look at some of our favorite under-the-radar players going into spring camp and the 2019 season. That should be a fun one, right?
I think every fan's got their list of players they think might be able to do something that no one's talking about, and we do as well.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear what we've got because we don't know what each other has.
That's right. So there'll be a surprise. Quarter number three turns into Ask Andy and Bob. And finally, in quarter number four, we're going to take a look, early look, at the defensive depth chart. Last week we did the offense. This week it'll be the defense. So without further ado, let's take a look at this week's news. I want to start with some good news out of the portal. Penn State has been getting guys going in. Now they have one coming out, returning. A guy by the name of George Campbell, 6'4", and he was a 5-star recruit going to Florida State. He's a grad transfer, so he'll have immediate eligibility. Is there any negative at all to this?
I don't think there's any negative at all to it. I just, when I saw him and I saw 5-star, I looked at what he did at Florida State, and there wasn't a lot of apparent production that I could find. So I just think that when you lose Juwan Johnson and you have some young guys you think are going to be pretty good, I just think that I would call this guy an insurance policy, and they're just going to see how it plays out. I mean, at the very least, I mean, I think that maybe he's a guy I would hope that would be willing and able on special teams in case he's got to take some time to work his way up the depth chart.
So he's injury prone. After his career.
That would explain the numbers.
Yeah, he was highly touted, injury prone. There's no real downside other than the fact that, like Bob said, he's an insurance policy, and we know he's injury prone. But the upside could be they don't have a big target. Well, now they got a big target, too. I mean, Justin Shorter, is he considered like a big target wide receiver? I know he's a big kid, but he seems like he doesn't seem like that quote-unquote big target, but he's a big target wide receiver, and I don't really see any downside other than the fact that he's injury prone and you don't lose anything. And you have scholarships to give because of all the Penn State guys in the portal.
Well, that's why I don't think there's any downside to it. He's not stealing time or a scholarship from anyone. This is, you know, I'm going to use the baseball analogy where teams want to have that short one-year contract. Mm. Essentially, that's what they're doing here. They have him on a one-year contract. Most of their receivers, I think, they don't have that big receiver. Justin Shorter is 6'4".
Yeah, he's a big guy, but what I saw of him, I guess in my mind it is, here you can start throwing shade at me, there's a big target and then there's a wide receiver who's big and does more than just being a big target. I think Justin Shorter's the more than just a big target.
Speaking of Justin Shorter, did you see that somebody talked to his high school coach?
No, I didn't.
Somebody talked to his high school coach, and they talked about what was wrong last year.
Ah.
So this is from the high school coach. He had a kneecap injury very early in camp, and it set him back, I think, 6 weeks.
At least.
I want to say it was dislocated. I'm not positive, but I read that yesterday, and it was a direct quote from his high school coach. So it's funny that you would bring him up, but I was wondering what it would have taken – And that's not what I would call a nagging injury, which is what James kind of alluded to. But I think it was a little bit more significant. And that's why I think it took him a while, even into December, to really get caught up to speed.
Did he, just out of curiosity, I can't remember off the top of my bald head, not use the four games or use the four games? Did he get a red shirt?
He's going to get a red shirt, yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That I wasn't 100% sure, but yeah, he's got a red shirt. And it makes sense, the kneecap. 6 weeks at least.
So now I'm even more excited to see what Justin can do with little winter conditioning, 100% health. But the guy that's coming in, if he's been injury prone, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Right. But at the end of August, if he gets the bumped up designation from James Franklin, I don't know what the expectation should be, because it seems like that's been the pattern, and maybe it's just been tough luck for the kid. But I think he's got to get into the season healthy then.
There you go.
Well, I think one more thing to point out about him, at 6'4", I read somewhere a sub 4.4 40, which is nice. Perhaps he'll be able to stretch the defense, something that we had been talking about lacking this past season. All right, let's go to the next one. Got to commit, a quarterback commit from a guy named Micah. I was ready to say Parsons. Ooh. Mike, ooh. Micah Bowens, 6 foot, 195, 3-star from Las Vegas Bishop Gorman High School. And they're a big time program.
Is that where Bryce Harper and Chris Bryant went? That's a prestigious Vegas school.
And I think they also have won like 23 straight titles in a row. I'm exaggerating a bit, Tate Martell?
Yeah.
Somebody else just told me that, too. So yeah. I think so. And he's a 3-star, and I've already seen some reaction to that. Oh, they're settling for a 3-star.
Did they settle when they got Trace?
Yeah. That's a good point, Bob. Did they settle?
Exact same body, exact same size.
Here's the thing I'm going to tell you, Penn State fans. You need to trust James Franklin and that staff when it comes to the quarterback position. Because they haven't even hit a foul ball yet, per se. You know what I mean? Jake Zemback, maybe, but that was just a signed insurance policy. But,
yep.
Look at what you're looking at. Tommy Stevens and Sean Cliff are going to fight for the job. That's not swing and a miss. They got two in the last class. Yep. They like what this kid is. They know exactly what they want in a quarterback.
Who's to say he'll be a 3-star by the time all is said and done? They've recruited kids that have added stars fairly regularly. So let's just see. Maybe they just identified him early. I mean, it's happened before.
Yeah. And that's exactly the point I was going to make. They've been getting on these guys early. Will Levis, Sean Clifford, they got all of them. Or even Justin Fields, they got before he blew up in his recruiting.
Talent identification and what they want out of the position is – in my eyes, is a 100% free pass.
And one other point to make is he's only been the starter there for 1 year. So he probably hasn't been as evaluated as some of the other kids. So anyway, you are listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white.
Drink blue and light.
All right, Andrew P., thank you for helping out there. A couple other quick things while we have a few minutes left. It wouldn't be the Keystone Kickoff Show without talking about another Penn State player making their way into the portal. This week, it's Mark Allen. I think it's a bit of a surprise, but I don't believe anybody's too upset about it. They were not counting on Mark Allen coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was... He was introduced with on senior day and all that, and honestly, as much as they always talked him up, and he did have a couple of flashes here and there, the way that they're kind of have with the running backs they have coming in, I just don't know. I mean, they already have a little bit of an undersized back who is explosive in space in Slade. So in what universe was he going to play?
Yeah.
I mean, they have that back. And I'm not saying Slade is a 5-star version of Mark Allen. So, I mean, good for him if he wants to play. It sounds like he just wants to play. He never really got a chance to.
And this would, I believe it would be a 6-year, a medical red shirt. I look at this the same way I looked. Was it Torrance Brown who we had all forgotten about because of injury?
Exactly. That's a good comparison. He is the offensive version of I think, is Penn State leading the standings in the transfer portal in terms of people who have vacated?
No, I think it's Illinois. To be honest with you, I looked at a portal list earlier this week just for...
I wonder where Illinois transfer portal players think they're going
to
play at.
Something and giggles to look at it, and I just kept seeing...
where are they going?
Well, I don't know where they're going, but I do know that they had five offensive linemen in there. Was like what jumped out to me was they were already... Yeah. Young and playing inexperienced players at the offensive line last year, other than Nick Allegretti, then they got all these kids jumping ship on the offensive line. I'm like, that's a bad one. They had a lot of players in the portal as well that I saw.
If Penn State's not number one, they're certainly, I would believe, top five.
Oh. If there was a national college playoff with four teams for the transfer portal championship, I think Penn State would be in the semis.
Definitely,
they'd
would
be an odds-on favorite too.
There's one more news item I wanted to get to with you guys. I know it's not new news, but this is the first time we've been together to talk about it since special teams coach Galliano has either left the program or was pushed. Did he jump or was he pushed, guys? That's my first question.
I think that if James was absolutely determined that he just can't help the program and that he wasn't getting along with the players, I think he would have been cut loose around the time Corley was.
Right.
So I think that James has a relationship with this guy, and he probably thought that maybe he could bring him back. But I think this was always something that was a possibility, and that explains a lot why James never really talked about the job that Galliano did. He kind of talked around it. You knew that he was unhappy with Corley when he talked about drop passes were the number one thing that was wrong with the offense. He put the blame just about everywhere on the special team. So I think he was giving Phil a little room to explore.
Yeah, I think he was gently pushed and then he jumped. That's just if you're asking for the scenario. But I also think when James was talking around it, he knew that Phil was looking, you know, because there's a looking process with the AFCA and the coaches convention and the time that they start shopping for jobs and that whole thing. And he where'd he go? The NFL, right? He went.
Yes. Yes.
The NFL. So.
Saints season ended late in late January. So that's another factor. If he was kind of, it's not like they were going to hire him right after the bowl game.
What is he like? Assistant special teams?
He knows somebody on the staff.
Or assistant to the special teams?
Much like John Donovan landed in Jacksonville, this young man has landed in New Orleans.
All right, that is it for quarter number one. We're right back with quarter number two. We're going to look for some of our favorite under-the-radar players. Stay with us.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.